and love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two and love can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
All right, how many's ready to continue with the series Real Love? Are you ready today? All right, man, this is the third part of our series Real Love. Today I want to talk to you about the simple words, love God. Seems simple, right? Love God. But do we truly love God the way he intended for us to love him? Loving God often isn't as simple as it should be. It should be a lot simpler than what we make it out to be. But many times we got to work through our own barriers. We got to work through our own roadblocks in our mind, our own tunnel vision, to get to the place where we're learning what it truly means to love God the way he desires that we love him. Now today, let's go ahead and pick up our text. We've been reading it throughout this whole series. And let's talk about it today, Mark 12, 30 and 31. Remember when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commands we can keep? Look what he said, love God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we spent the first two parts of this sermon talking about who is our neighbor and learning to love others. Today, I want to go back now to this first part, learning to love God. Love God with everything, all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. How do we do this? How do we really learn to love God with everything? So we have some challenges when it comes to us really learning to love God with everything, with all. Our two challenges are simply this. Our view of God is limited. We limit how we love God, and our view of God is limited. We tend to love God the way that we love. We tend to see God's love for us the way that we think people love us. So we got to say this. We got to expand our view of God. We got to take off this filter and say, you know what? I got to learn to love God differently. We got to say, God, I see things differently. You know, as a kid, you ever do this? You ever take one of those paper roll towels like this and look through it? And you're like, all right, matey. You know, you kind of get this view out there, and you're playing with this. And when you look in this, you know, as I look out through this tube, I can only see three or four of you at a time. I have to move it around to see all of your faces. I can't do it by itself. And for many of us, this is really the way we see God. Our view of God is so limited. Our perspective is so different. Our perspective is limited to what we can see. God, I only see this. So therefore, our view is limited to our life. It's more of a selfish view. It's more of a self-centered. God, what are you doing in me? God, what do you want to do through me? God, what's going to happen in my life? And God's view is not this. God has a kingdom view. God's viewpoint is so much bigger than this for our life. He sees eternity. He sees the kingdom. And he has a kingdom mindset. He has a kingdom viewpoint. Our perspective is simply this. God, you can only do so much with me. You can only do so much in my life. You can only do so much in my church. You can only do so much because we are limited by resources. Our mind, we limit God according to our resources. But when you view God truly, you realize this, that God has no limit to his resources. God is not limited to resources. The Bible teaches that very clear to us. We are very limited. We see God as our finite view, and God is infinite in his view. We see God limited to ourself, and he wants us to see the big picture. He wants us to learn to expand. Look at this. Our perspective has got to change. We judge God off of our perspective instead of his perspective. Let that sink in. We judge God off of our perspective instead of his perspective. If I was God, the Cowboys would have already won 3 more Super Bowls by now. And we would even throw in one for the Chiefs fans just to help you guys out. Come on now. We think God, if I was God, this would happen. If I was God, I would have already answered that prayer. If I was God, I'd have already taken care of that crisis. If I was God, this person would have been healed. If I was God, this person wouldn't have died. If I was God, and we have all these views of God limited to the way we see it. Therefore, it can affect the way we trust God. It affects the way we love God. And it affects the way we think that he loves us. And so to really walk in true love and the real love, you've got to change your perspective. Realize you've got to take off the filter of how we see God and realize it's so much bigger for our lives. Our relationship with God has to be based off of something different than what we can comprehend and what we can understand. God is so much bigger than what you and I can comprehend. So we can't base our relationship based off of that. So look at this. To change our perspective of God, to change our perspective of God, we must answer one question. What does God want? That's the million-dollar question, right? What does God really want from you and I? How many want to know that answer? Do you want to know that? What's the most important thing? What's the most foundational thing that God wants from you and I? And the one thing, let's answer that question, the one thing God wants from you is a relationship. God wants one thing from you, and it's a relationship. A true relationship. 1 John 4:8 says this, that God is love. For God is love. God is love. He wants the opportunity to love you. You and I were the driving force behind creation. You and I were the driving force behind creation. He created us to have a relationship with us. He created us because he wanted you and I to become the object of his love. It's the relationship. John 15, verses 12 through 17. Look at what it says. My command, Jesus said, my command is this, that we love each other as I have loved you. He goes, no greater love has anyone than this, and he lays down his one's life for his one's friends. And then he calls us what? You are my friends. Look at that. God calls us his friends if you do what I command. What did he command? What did he just tell us? I command you this, love each other as I have loved you. He goes, you follow this command, and you and I, we're going to be friends. He wants to have a friendship with us, and he wants you and I to learn to love. We got to love difficult people. We got to love that neighbor. Why? Because he wants us to be friends of him. He wants us to be in that relationship. He goes, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. But instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and that whatever you ask in my name, that the Father will give you. This is my command. Once again, he reiterates that point. This is my command. Love each other. You follow this command. He goes, you and I, we're going to be friends. We walk into that friendship. God wants a relationship with us. If you don't know that today, you got to understand this, that God really, really wants to show his love to you and I. He really wants us to be in a relationship. You don't know how bad he wants to be in a relationship with you and I? Do you understand how much he really values that? He gave his son. For God so loved the world that, what? He gave his only begotten son. Why? So that you and I would have a relationship with him. And it talks about this relationship. Why? Because Hebrews 10, 19. Look what it says in Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus' blood, those who accept the work of the cross, who confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now can enter with confidence into the presence of God by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. This is his body. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us now draw near to God. Listen, he wants you near to him. He wants you in his presence. He wants you in his presence. Why? Because he has cleansed our hearts through what? Through the purification of his son, Jesus. The whole reason that he gave his son, Jesus, was so that you and I could be sanctified, purified by his grace and by his Jesus' blood, that you and I now can now be in a relationship with the Father. See, God is a perfect God, and you and I, we're unperfect. But when we accept the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross for us by shedding his blood, we now are washed with that blood. Now we can come into the presence of God, not based on our own works, not based on our own merit, but we sit there simply because of what Jesus did for us. And so therefore you and I can now walk in a relationship with God. We can now commune with God. We can now hear his voice. We can now talk with God. We can now be in his presence. We can now worship in his presence. We can now walk in his presence. We can now live in his presence. Why? Because he wants you and I to be in a relationship with him. So how do we really love him? How do we really walk into this presence? Does he want to be us to be in his presence because he's lonely? God's not lonely, but God is love. And love has to have an object. Love demands that we have affection to give to somebody. Love demands that God is love, and he wants to give that love. He wants to lavish that love upon us. He wants to give us that love. Not because he's lonely, but because he loves us. You know, it's something that our teenagers, if you ever have teenagers in the house, anybody got a teenager in the house or had a teenager, raise your hand today. God bless you. I'm praying for you today. You know, one thing we know as parents about teenagers, they go through this time where they just don't understand. We're like, hey, why don't you go get something to eat with us? Or why don't you come hang out with us for a little bit? And they're like, ah, man, I want to go hang out with my friends. Oh, my friends are in town. Oh, let's go do this. Let's go do that. You know, all these things are happening. And they really want to just be with their friends. And you're like, no, let's take a time out here. Come have a meal with mom and dad. Come have a meal with us. I want to spend some time with. They don't see it. Hey, I'm going down here to do this. Aaron, would you just go with me? Why? Oh, my God. Why? Why? Dad, why? He's being silly. What they don't get is this, is that I want my kids to spend time in my presence because I want to bless them. I want to show them love. I want to pass on wisdom. I want them to feel the Father's heart. I want them just to be in my presence because they're the object of the love of my children. They don't understand that. One day they come full circle and they get that. They start understanding that better. But it's like they have this brain gap that happens, you know. And they don't mean anything bad by it. They just don't understand how much we really value just being in their presence. And I wonder for us how many of us are the same way. We don't understand that God really values blessing us. God really values us having a relationship with him. Oh, he loves us. And he wants to lavish that love upon us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to walk in that relationship. He wants us to understand that he really loves us that much. See, most of us, we have a self-centered first view of love of God. Our first view of love of God is really selfishly motivated. God, I see you. I see you. And I love you because, you know what? If I love you, you forgave me my sins. I don't have to go to hell. Now I can go to heaven. God, I thank you. God, you redeemed me. Yeah. Our love for God is motivated off of what he did for us. It's kind of like when you're a teenager. This is what we're talking about them. They don't ever want to talk to you, you know. They're going to that stage, they don't want to talk that much to you. Then all of a sudden, you walk in, Dad! Dad! Daddy, oh, Dad! Daddy! Oh, Daddy! Come here. How's my favorite dad? Give me a hug. And everybody knows what's coming next. What is it? Dad, can I what? You want something, right? Dad, can I have some money? Dad, can I borrow the keys to the car? Dad, can I go here? You know, it's just natural, right? All teenagers do it. They go to a time where they really want to express the love when they can get that something back. And that's really, we're no different. Come on, guys. We're no different. Our love for God at first really becomes motivated based off of, God, I'm loving you because, man, you love me. And wow, you know, and you love me so much, I'm going to love you back. And man, you've done so much for me. And you're going, God, boy, God, I know if I love you because, man, you're going to help me out of this problem. God, I love you because you're going to help me through this trial. God, I love you because you've got me out of this. And our first motivation becomes motivated off of self-centered. But that's not really true love, guys. That's not really true love. True love is loving God through every season of life. True love is learning to love God through every challenge in our life. Listen, we first fall in love because of what he can do for us. But real love is a choice. Real love chooses to love God. Look at this. Real love chooses. Everybody say chooses. Chooses to love God. That's where you find true love. That's where you find real love. Real love is a choice. It's more than a feeling. Come on now. Look at your neighbor and say, it's more than a feeling. I don't care what the 80s taught you. Love is more than a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. It's a choice. At some point in your marriage, the butterflies are going to wear off. At some point, you're going to have some hard, challenging days. And you say, you know what? I'm choosing to love you. I'm choosing to stay committed to you because love is a choice. Love chooses. Real love chooses to love, even through the hardest of circumstances. Real love can choose to really love. It's a choice. And if you really want to learn to love God, it's a choice of saying, God, I choose to love you no matter my circumstance. I choose to love you no matter what I'm feeling at this moment. God, I choose to love you no matter what I'm going through. I'm still choosing to love you. That's how God wants us to love him. It's not based off of feelings. It's based off of choice. Luke 10:27 says it like this. We just read a while ago, God wants us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. And really, I believe if we really translate it, this is what he's saying to us. I inserted this into a scripture right here because I believe this is really what the intent of what he's trying to say to us. God, I choose to love you with all of my mind. God, I'm choosing to love you with all of my heart. God, I'm choosing to love you with all of my strength. It's a choice. Because I don't always feel like it. I don't always feel like it. But love is not based off of feelings. Real love, true love, is based off of choice. I've got to learn what it means to really love God. Do I love him during the blessing? Do I love him during the great times? Or do I really love him even when I can't see but just a little bit? Do I love him when all I can see is the pain through this narrow scope? Do I just love you? I can't see you beyond why you didn't do this for my life. And our view of God gets limited. Our love of God gets limited to this. But real love says, no, it's much bigger than that. God, you see things. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. It's so much bigger. It's so much bigger. And so I choose to love you even through my tears, even through my doubt, even through my pain, even through uncertainty, I choose to love you. Talk about growing. Wow, you want to grow? You love God that way during your most challenging season. And see if God won't grow you like you never have before. Real love loves this way. 1 John 4:19 says this. We love because he first loved us. He loves me. I love him back. He loves me. How did he love me? That while I was yet a sinner, Christ, you died for me. Wait, time out. The Bible says he took the weight of the sin upon the cross. The weight of the world's sin. That means that he died for our sin before we ever committed it. And he's died for the sins I'll commit in the future. Talk about love. How does he love me? He loved me that while we were yet sinners, while we rejected him, while we ran from him, when we didn't acknowledge him, when we were unfaithful to him, yet he loved us all the way up Calvary's Hill. He loved us all the way through. Why? Because he felt like it? No. It was the most painful death anybody's ever received. Why? Because he chose to love us. Not based off a feeling. Based off the kingdom. God, this is going to set people free. This is going to allow every one of us who want to walk in that relationship, we can now walk in this relationship. Once I accept, look at this, once I accept that God loves us in every situation, listen, what happens? When God, I accept God loves us, he can choose to love him in all things. God, you have loved me. I accept that you love me beyond my faults and fears. God, beyond my doubts, beyond who I am, you still love me and you chose to love me. Then I can choose to love him in all things. I can love you in all seasons. I can love you in all circumstances. I can love you with all of my mind, with all of my heart, with all of my strength. This is real love. We can find something new about God's love in every season of our life. Do you see that? Look at the spring season. Spring season. We all go through seasons in our life, and the spring season is a season of planting, of new beginnings. Don't you like that? Man, you got something new going on. You're planting new seed. You're getting a fresh vision for your life. And there we're planting, we're hard work. The hard work is paying off because we know this hard work eventually is going to bring a harvest. This hard work we're planting this seed is going to bring much fruit in our life. And so, man, we work hard, but it's driven with the hope of a better tomorrow. Things are going to change tomorrow. Things are going to get better tomorrow. Things, and so this hope drives us. And in this new season, things begin to smell better. You know, the fresh rains start happening. He's seen as the comforting father. He's the encouraging teacher. He's the faithful deliverer to us. And then we go to the summer season. And summer, come on. Summer, summertime. Summertime. Summertime is here. What happens? How many are ready for summer? Anybody ready for summer? Okay. I know you are. Summertime is here. And it's a season of growth and development. Season of watering, a lot of hard work. Season of protection against the storms that come against you. Storms rage, and man, you're out there protecting, you're out there tilling, you're out there taking out the weeds, you're watering. God's our defender, he's our protector, he's a provider, he's our teacher. We persevere through the heat. When the heat gets turned on, we persevere. And we get through the hard adversity times in our life. But then fall comes around. And fall, besides football, fall is a fun season, right? Come on now. Fall is a great season of harvest. This is why we have people who have harvest festivals and harvest parties. Why? Because it was started with a celebration of all the hard work that went in throughout the year. Now you're reaping the harvest, man. It's a time of gathering. It's a time of victory. It's a time of promotion. I mean, it's a fun time. and things are all clicking. All the hard work is paying off. All the dedication is paying off. All the things you planted are coming to pass in your life. God's a proud papa. He's a dream maker. He's the provider. I mean, it's fun. It's easy to serve God then. You come in to worship then, hallelujah! I mean, it don't make a difference who's leading the worship. It don't make a difference what song we're singing. Everything's clicking. Woo, that was awesome today. We float out of church. Woo, the presence of God was so strong. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just clicking, man. The blessings of God are there. It's easy to love God then, oh God. Ooh. I'm humbled by your blessing. God, I'm humbled by your mercy. God, I'm humbled by your faithfulness. Oh, man, this is the fun time. But the next season, this is where true love is really tested in our life. It's the winter season. This is the hard season. It's a season of death. Things begin to die off. You feel abandonment. You feel solitude. Winter's a time of pruning. It's a time of cutting back. It's a time of killing the bugs. And in this time, God seems absent. God, where are you? God seems distant. He's there, but man, he's a long ways from me. God seems like he's distracted. He's unaware of what I'm going through. God! How about a hand? And we're over here trying to wave God down. We're in this winter season, and we see God is absent, distant, distracted, unaware, abandoned, solitude. We're going through mourning of death, and all these things happen. God, where are you? What you got to realize is this, that God has not left you alone. That winter season is going to produce. In that winter season, God is active. God is focused. And God is purposeful in what he's doing in our life. And he's going to take the things that were mean to destroy us. And he will take those things and bring a new spring. He'll bring a new summer. And he'll bring a new fall to your life. If you just love and trust him during that time. But true love is tested right here. Anybody can love God when things are great. But how do I really love God? Even though it slays me, God, even though I feel like this thing I'm going through is about to do me in, it doesn't make a difference because your word says this, God. I may be cast down. I may be persecuted, but you know what? I'm not going to be destroyed. God, you are going to see me through. And God, no matter what you're going through, this season of my tears, this season of mourning, this season of isolation, God, I know that spring is going to come again. And God, I'm trusting you and loving you even when I don't feel like you're near to me. That's choosing to love God. And that will take you and elevate you to a different level of love and relationship with God. I can't tell you to you ever, if you've ever gone through it, you know what I'm talking about. It's just something that happens. It's a choice. It's what he's wanting us to do, trusting him, loving God, loving God, loving God. That's why it's important. We got it blown up on the side of our building out here. We want to love God. We want to love people. Why? Because if we love people, keep his commands, he goes, then you're going to, what? You're going to be my friends. This is why I command you. This is the most important thing I told you to do. Learn to love me, not just based off a puppy love. Not just based off of conditional love, but do you love me and trust me through your winter season? This is where we change. You see, it was through that winter season. Abraham, God said, Abraham, won't you sacrifice your son that I've given you, the promise I've given you, now won't you go sacrifice him? Woo, God, where are you? Climbing this mountain alone. God, God, I'm going to trust you. Through the winter season. God, I'm going to trust you through the mountain. He gets to the mountain. He says, look up, Abraham. See that God has provided a sacrifice. And Abraham went from seeing God like this to seeing, oh, you are Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. See, his eyes no longer were he just seeing God for the smallness. No, he's Jehovah Jireh now. God, you provide any difficult situation. Children of Israel were in a fight for their life. They're losing. God tells Moses, lift up your hands, lift up the staff. He raises the hands and the staff, and they win. His hands get tired. They come down. They start losing. So he sends up, he says, go up there, hold up their hands. Hold up Moses. So they hold up Moses' hands. They prop him up. And while his hands are raised throughout the day, they won the victory throughout the day. Even though they were outmanned, even though they were out, they had more armor on the other team, man, and the other enemy was coming against them and should have destroyed them, God gave victory to them. And when they got done, they said, all right, God, I don't see you for the God who abandoned me during war, this war season, but God, I look up now. Woo! I look up now. God, you are Jehovah Nissi, God, my banner. See, they saw another view of God. He wasn't limited to just the battle, but now, God, I see you're God, my banner. You're the God who provides over me, who resides over me. Gideon in the cave, hiding in fear. The enemy's trying to attack and destroy. They're all hiding for their lives. The angel comes to us and says, hey, I want you to understand the God of peace is here. And Gideon looks beyond his fear. He goes, you are Jehovah Shalom, God, my peace. I'm telling you, no matter what season you're in, when you get your perspective out of the way, God will show you a new perspective. God will show you something different. I'm going to close with this last scripture. In Psalms chapter 23, David was hiding for his life. David was fearful for his life. David was running for his life. And he writes this in the middle of all that turmoil. He writes one of the most famous psalms ever written. Look what it says. He says, the Lord is. Wait, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord might be. God, maybe you're my shepherd, and maybe you can get me out. No, God, you are. God is, present tense, God is my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. He goes, I'm going to lack nothing. Even though he's running for his life, I'm going to lack nothing. Matter of fact, he causes me to rest. He lies me down beside the green pastures. He leads me beside the calming of the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I'm walking through the very dark valley, I will fear no evil. For God, you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they bring comfort to me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You set me down there. He goes, you anoint my head with oil. My cup, and this overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, your love, it will follow me. Your goodness, your love, it's your mercy. It will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house. I will dwell in the presence. I will dwell in relationship with the Lord all the days of my life. Perspective. David's love for God wasn't based on just this. It wasn't just based on a cave view. It wasn't just based on a narrow view. But something that happened that allowed him to truly trust and love God. See, true love chooses to love God through every season. True love chooses to trust God through every season. We're called to love. Love God with everything. How do we do that? Even through the most difficult circumstances. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your head today, I'm going to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked before. It's the question today, if you died, would you make heaven your home? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is why we're here today. And before you can walk in this love I'm talking about, it all starts right here. This is the foundation of love right here. But we realized that while I was a sinner, Christ, you died for me. And I need a Savior in my life. The Bible says that if we want to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, two things must happen. First of all, we must believe in our heart. And the second part, we must confess with our mouth. So today, if you've never done that, you've never believed in your heart, but maybe you have, but maybe you never confessed with your mouth. You say, I'm ready today, Pastor, to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to walk and accept His love in my life. Today's my day. Without anybody else looking around, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But I want to give you a chance to respond today. If you're here, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Just raise your hand for me. Let me see it. Say, today you're making that in your heart today. Thank you. Anybody else? I see the hand in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, I'm ready to accept Jesus today. Come on, if you haven't raised it, raise it high right now. Thank you, guys. So what we're going to do today, I want you to say this prayer after me, repeat it after me. As Christians around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the love of God. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, we're going to open up our hub in the back here. The garage door will be opened up. We got a free gift. We would love to put it in your hands. A free Bible, some other information. We'd love to put that in your hands today. We love you. Get plugged in. If you don't have a home church, get to church, okay? You need a family of God. You can't do it. It's only the beginning, okay? Making a decision. It's only the beginning. Now you need to get plugged into a church family that will support you, pray for you, encourage you. That's how God intended for us to live our life. Now, as you stand on your feet this morning all across the building, how many will raise your hands and say, Pastor, I want to learn to love God, truly love God. Today I'm being stressed. I want to learn to really love God through every season of my life. I want to learn to trust and love Him. Yeah, come on. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for the cross. Thank Him that now we have that relationship with Him. Come on, let's sing it to Him. Our hands up. I want to pray with you before we leave today. Father, I thank you. God, you're teaching us what true love is because you first loved us. You first loved us this way. So God, I pray that we would be people who really learn to love you, not based off of any immaturity reasons, not based off of what you can do for us, but God, we are loving you through every circumstance, realizing, God, you see more for our life. You see the bigger picture. And God, our trust is in you. Even through our hard times, our trust is in you. And God, I pray to God, you come alive. Our relationships become alive in you, fresh and anew. God, as we truly learn to love you with everything we have, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our heart, may it be yours, Father, in Jesus' name. If you receive that word today, can you put your hands together and bless the Lord? Listen, we love you so much. Thank you guys for being here. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, God is good. We love you guys. Have a great afternoon.